morning, 1 John chapter 4. Now, that's not the Gospel of John. That's the Epistle of John, back toward the back of the New Testament there, as you turn toward the book of Revelation, 1 John chapter 4, and verses 14 through 16. I'm glad that was no person that was tumbling in the orchestra over here. It was the, whatever you call that thing, tuba or baritone, excuse me, all right. I thought maybe God was thundering out from heaven when Brother Bragg said, bless the offering. He was going, amen. But anyway, it was just the baritone falling. But all is well. Amen. Here we go. Let's stand together, please. 1 John chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. And would you read this? Would you, in fact, read out loud with me on verse 15, okay? And follow along as I read the other two. Here's what our Bible says in verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these verses. Thank you for the truths taught in these verses. Bless our hearts today with this truth. Oh God, please reach out and do a good work in our heart. I pray as the Holy Spirit begins to move in the message that we will allow him to work on the ground that is our heart. May the seed of your word fall on good ground today and bring forth fruit. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to preach the truth this morning. Bless the song, the singer, and the message to follow is my prayer now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
As sure as this world is turning, I owe my all to him. He gave up his life, the ultimate price, for this man who was guilty as sin. Shadow of the cross, when heaven looks down, I want to be found, devoted no matter the cost. I want to be that man, found faithful when it's all said and done, giving my all for the sake of the call. For the Savior who is second to none. May the truth that holds my heart be the strength that lets me stand. If anyone builds his life around Jesus, I want to be that man. As long as there's time to harvest, I want to do my part. I surrender my will, may his Spirit fill every corner and space of my heart. So I'll hold to his nail-scarred hand, giving glory to the Lamb. Every day of my life, may I live what is right and serve him with all that I am. I want to be that man, found faithful when it's all said and done, giving my all for the sake of the call, for the Savior who is second to none. May the truth that holds my heart be the strength that lets me stand. If anyone builds his life around Jesus, I want to be that man. If there's a man who will walk unashamed, found faith.
9 years ago yesterday, Dan sang that song at the funeral service of Nathan Lockwood, who was called home to heaven at age 18. Very suddenly. Many of you remember that. Some won't. A lot of folks have come since that time. But tonight, I'm not going to get into the message that I'll preach tonight, but I will refer in the message tonight to Nathan and his life of 18 years. This week never goes by without me thinking about him. And I talked about him on Thursday night at the youth camp. And I want to just talk a little bit tonight about how God is still using his testimony. That's a blessing, isn't it? You know, how you finish. And sometimes how you finish is vitally important. The problem is we don't know when we will finish. It was all said and done on earth for him at 18 years and 1 month. So the key is get hooked into God, get faithful now. Amen? And while you got your sense about you. That's a good song, Dan. Thanks for singing it. Appreciate that. I always get a blessing out of hearing that song. That was the family's request on that day. 9 years ago. All right, verse number 16 in our text this morning, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. That's my title. And I'll speak on that subject this morning. God is love. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful attribute that we know as your love. Pray that you'll help me this morning, O God. Would you please direct my thoughts and my words, and I give myself to you. And Lord, thank you for the good music we've enjoyed, the fellowship of shaking hands and seeing people, meeting new folks, and Lord, getting reacquainted again with those that we've known for some years. And what a blessing that everybody's here today that's come to church. May you please have these moments set aside for us to help us, to bless us, to challenge us. And I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray and ask for your help. And amen. Verse number 8 in the same chapter says the same thing. God is love. So you got verse 8 and verse 16 simply saying God is love. Three short one-syllable words, and yet how much is packed into that statement. Now, God's love is mentioned 8 times in these 21 verses that make up chapter 4. Now, we've got 21 verses here in this chapter, and God's love is mentioned 8 times. The pen of this book is the Apostle John. This is his first letter. 2 more would follow. And when you read his gospel, which is different than his epistles, okay? When you read his gospel, we realize that there was no other disciple, now listen to this, more qualified to write about God's love than John was. John was the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. You see, there was a special love relationship between Jesus and John. Now, wait a minute. I don't believe that was because Jesus was partial to John or that Jesus loved John more than he did the other disciples. Here's what I believe. I believe that John expressed his love for Jesus in ways that the other disciples did not. And that allowed Jesus, in return, to express his love to him in special and unique ways. It wasn't Peter who leaned his head on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. It wasn't Matthew. It was John. You see, John took the opportunity to express his love to Jesus in ways that the other disciples did not. And Jesus responded in kind. You know, that's encouraging to me because each one of us could be the recipient of a special love relationship with Jesus. It all depends on how much we love Him and how much we express that love to Him. You know, stop for a minute and ask yourself, how long has it been since I just said, I love you, Jesus? I don't mean singing in a song here that we sing at church, you know, oh, how I love Jesus. How long since you expressed it to Him and said, Jesus, I love you? Now, all of us have that opportunity, okay? So it wasn't partiality here. It was that John took the initiative to express his love to Jesus in ways that others didn't, and Jesus responded in kind. And boy, there was a tight relationship, special relationship between Jesus and John. John loved Jesus, and because he did, John knew something about God the Father's love. Because John loved Jesus, God the Son, then John knew something about God the Father's love. You see, loving Jesus Christ is key to knowing about God the Father's love. You say, well, aren't they the same? Yes, they are the same. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all the same. These three are one. But God the Father's love is special and unique. And God the Son's love is special and unique. And God the Spirit's love is special and unique. God the Father's love is the love of a father for his children. Jesus' love is the love of a brother for his siblings, our elder brother. And so it's expressed in different ways. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse number 21. These are his words. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. So John knew something about the love of God because he loved Jesus. Jesus said this in John 16, 27. These are his words. For the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me. So John the apostle, he knew some things about God's love that maybe some of the others didn't know because he loved Jesus. And loving Jesus is the key that opens up the door to special and unique responsibilities and knowledge about the love of God the Father. Now, it goes without saying, you know and I know, that love is one of the key attributes of God. God has never been taught love. God's never been instructed on how to love. God doesn't have to learn how to love because God is love. He is love in its fullest essence, if you will, okay? And oftentimes when one thinks of God, the thought of His love is often the first impression on the mind and heart. When somebody thinks about God, what's the best known verse in all the Bible? John 3:16, for God so loved. Last week, Brother Coral preached here on Sunday morning, and thankfully, and I'm glad it did, the invitation went longer than it normally does. Many folks were being saved and dealt with at the altar, and I came over about 10 minutes after 12 after being dealt with, speaking to the teenagers over there, and snuck in the door back here and enjoyed the rest of the invitation and closed the service about 12:25, which is about 10 to 15 minutes longer than what's normal. Usually it's 12:10, 12:15. We're not a nooner church. Now watch today, I'll probably quit at 5 till noon, okay? But we're not a nooner church, so don't get your hopes up if you're hoping a nooner finish, okay? All right? But usually about 10 after 12. The service went to about 25 after, and then I was visiting, and Melanie Donahoe, their family's on vacation. She is one of our 11 o'clock Sunday school teachers right now in the other building. There are six teachers with first through sixth grade boys and girls in elementary Sunday school classes. There's also a group of folks that are taking home the mentally handicapped adults who came for a service a little while ago. There's also Spanish folks upstairs who are having a service right now. So there's a lot going on that's not in this room. And so when Melanie came down the hallway, she had a great big smile on her face. She teaches the third and fourth grade girls Sunday school class, the girls that ride in on our buses. And she said, Pastor, class was a little longer than normal today. And I said, well, Brother Coral was here. Amen. So that's understandable. And she said, well, I had the girls make some cards for you and Brother Caleb. I think you got some. And I think she handed me three or four of this type card on some piece of paper here. And I put them on my desk, thanked her, put them on my desk. And honestly, I did not look at them until I came in on Monday morning. So I came in on Monday morning, and I was looking through the cards. And I looked through the cards, and I'll be honest with you, I hope this doesn't offend anybody, I threw it away. I mean, if I keep everything everybody gives me, my desk and bookcase looks like a rat's nest already, okay? But if I kept everything, folks, it would be unbelievable. So I looked at them, and I got a chuckle out of them, and I put it in the wastebasket. So I looked at this one, and I thought, oh, that's cute, that's sweet. And then I put it in the wastebasket, and then I sat back and said, no. So I pulled it out. Because when I opened this one, this is what was written on the inside by a third or fourth grade girl. You can't see it, but all it says in lowercase letters is God. And then there are two hearts. God and two hearts. God loves. I pulled that back out of the trash can. I kept it all week. Thought about it. If that's all that that little girl learns about God from Faith Baptist Church, it's worth every penny that goes to purchase a gallon of gas. It's worth every penny that pays for insurance. It's worth every penny that you men shell out to have a CDL so that somebody can drive the bus. It's worth every dime that some of you folks pay it put in your gas tank to go visit little girls like this so they can come to a place and learn that God is love. God used that little third or fourth grade girl to speak to my heart. I'm going to put it there. I think it's precious that it's all written in lowercase letters and that there's two red hearts. God is love. And God used that little girl just to work on my heart all week long. My mind ran to this passage of Scripture because I've read it how many times since I've been saved in 1975. God is love. And I want to say three things about God's love this morning. We know that God is love from what John said here about God is love. First of all, number one, we know that God is love because He sent us a Savior. He sent us a Savior. Look at verse number 14. Look at what John said. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Glory to God. Amen. John said, we have seen and we do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now look, John could say that because he was an eyewitness of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. For 3.5 years, John walked with Jesus and John testified in this chapter, in this verse, that during those 3.5 years, he saw God's love revealed in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, over and over again. And John saw that love specifically in the fact that Jesus was sent to be the Savior of the world. You see, Jesus did not come. God did not send Jesus to the world to condemn the world. Folks, the world was condemned already. John 3:18, Jesus said, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You say, who is that? That's every person that's born into this world. Nobody is born into this world in the condition of believing on Jesus. We are all born into this world believing not on Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are already condemned. I'm talking about the world now. I'm talking about the people in it. The world, the people, had already been condemned by their sin. And when Jesus came, He didn't come to show them that they were condemned. He came to show them that there was something that could be done about their condemnation. Isn't that a blessing? Man, thank God. Now, so that's like you and me. We are born sinners. And because of our sin, we have already been tried. We've already been found guilty. And we've already been sentenced to punishment. Now listen very carefully. I said at the beginning of the service, didn't think about it in connection with this message, that I'm glad we have a no-so salvation. Too many people believe that you come down to the end of life, you stand before God, and that good and evil is going to be put on a big scale, and you just hope if this is good that the good outweighs the evil. And if the good outweighs the evil, okay, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Has nothing to do with what the Bible teaches. There will be no scale. Because the verdict has already been rendered. You look, we're already found guilty. Well, I'll await my sentencing. Already done. It's done. We have been tried. We have not been acquitted. We have been found guilty. And we have been sentenced to punishment, the worst kind of punishment, separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That's where we are, folks. Now look, Jesus did not come to put people in that condition. We're already in that condition. Jesus came to show us and to reveal to us that condition. And more than that, He came to save us from that condition. And that was the result of God's love. Friend, that's what we needed. Jesus said, this is the condition you are in. And I came to do something about it. Now, this illustration is not perfect, but it will work to some degree. I don't know if you, maybe some of you probably heard this in the news. Friday morning, three men, Friday morning, very early, went to a fishing boat on the shores of Lake Michigan to go on an early morning fishing trip. And they started out very early. You guys that fish, you know fishing is good in the morning and in the evening. And so they went on the early morning fishing excursion. They got about a mile out from the harbor. And when they got a mile out from the harbor, they noticed a woman frantically waving her arms in the water. So they took their boat over to where she was. The woman and three others, the woman, another woman, and two men, had been on a sailboat in Lake Michigan, and they went for an early morning swim. And they didn't anchor the boat. And while they were swimming, the boat drifted away. Now, the one man died. I don't think they found the other man yet or not. No, I don't know what's happened. But when these fishermen, now watch this, when these fishermen saw this woman, they didn't know it was a woman at first, they just saw it was a person flailing with their arms and waving their arms. Now, she'd been staying afloat for 5 hours. So the fishermen took their boat over there to see what was going on. Now, look, folks, when they got there, they didn't pull up and say, hey, you're drowning. I just want you to know that in a few minutes or maybe another hour, you're going to be out of there and you're going to die. Okay, good luck. And pull away. No, when they got over there and realized her condition, the woman was well aware of the fact that she didn't have a lot of gas in the tank left. She's begging them to do something, and when they got there, they threw a flotation device to her, and they saved her. Now, thank God, this is what God did. He didn't send Jesus to see us dying in our sin, and for Jesus to pass by and just say, hey, I want you to know that you're dying in your sin, and you're going to be going to hell forever and ever, and so good luck, and then walk away. No. He sent us a Savior. Hey, you know you're in trouble. You know you're a sinner. You know you're drowning. You know you're guilty. Now look, here's something else you need to know. I love you, and I came to do something about your condition. Isn't that a blessing? Sure. That's how we know God loved us. He sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. God used that little girl last week. To really just bless my heart all week long. But then it wasn't just her on Monday morning. The previous Tuesday night, God had used two little girls to bless my heart in an unbelievable way. They're two little twin girls, 10 years old. They were here last Sunday morning. They've gone back to Michigan now where they live. They were down visiting their dad for a while. And some folks that I've been working on in St. Anne, and had led a couple of folks to Christ. And finally, the lady came last Sunday, followed the Lord in believer's baptism. I was glad that she did. And the two girls came. The dad's already saved. And the two girls came along. Well, I went down there on Tuesday night a week ago to visit them. And so I was there to visit, just to follow up. Just getting ready to leave. Ira was with me. Ira's over in the building. And just getting ready to leave. And those two little girls were there. It's amazing how God works. You know, one of those little girls had filled out a visitor card. Usually, we don't follow up on children's visitor cards on Tuesday. We give those on the bus meeting on Saturday. But I didn't even realize it was a 10-year-old girl until I got there. And I said, "It's Courtney." "Oh yeah, this is Courtney, and this is her twin sister Zoe." So two little twin 10-year-old girls. And so just ready to walk out the door, and the Spirit of God prompted my heart and said, "Those little girls were in church. You ought to talk to them. They're going back to Michigan." And so I said, "Courtney, Zoe, Dad, can I ask them a question? Do you know that you've been saved? Are you ever been born into God's family? Are you going to heaven when you die?" And they just kind of looked at each other and looked at their dad. And I said, "Tom, do you mind if I sit at the table and talk to your girls? Help yourself." He said, so around the table we went, and we sat. Oh, my goodness, what a wonderful experience. I began to talk to those girls. Courtney sat to my right and Zoe sat across the table. And I began to talk to the girls about sin. And I was careful and lengthy and took my time and how sin separates us from God and the wages of sin. And we're separated from God forever in the lake of fire because we're all sinners. And boy, I could see little Zoe's eyes just brimmed with tears. And I explained that. Well, I went through that little illustration of if a private hits a private, he gets in this much trouble. If he hits a sergeant, he gets in this much trouble. If he hits a captain, he gets in this much trouble. If he hits a general, he gets in this much trouble. His punishment increases as he goes higher in rank hitting somebody. And I said, who's bigger than God, girls? And they looked at each other and looked and said, nobody. I said, you've got to understand that our sin is against God. And by the way, that's what's wrong with our sin. That's what's so bad about our sin. It's against God. And I kid you not, friend, I am not embellishing. I will never forget as long as I live the horrified look on that little 10-year-old girl who sat across from me. A look of horror. I have sinned against God. And I deserve to pay the wages of that sin. I mean, it was I felt bad for her. I wanted to say, honey, just hang on, it's getting better, okay? Honestly, her little look, it was horrifying. You know, you go through, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death. And the unbelieving and the abominable and the fearful and the murderers and whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burns with brimstone forever and ever. And the second at death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. You go through all of those verses. But I didn't walk away. And say, see, that's where you are. And leave her in that horrified condition. No, bless God, I was able to go back to Romans 6:23 and tell her, but the gift of God is eternal life. God commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And those little girls in their simple 10-year-old childlike faith, which everybody who gets saved has to have. Simple little childlike faith. Trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'll never forget when we opened our eyes, the horrified look was gone and replaced by a smile of peace and blessing on that girl's face. Yes. Brother, God is love because He sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. He sent Jesus to do something about our sin condition. God is love. Oh, you bet God's love. God's love, not simply because He saw us in our condition and walked away. He saw us in our condition and did something about it. Sin, sent His only Son to save us from that condition. That ought to make a Presbyterian say amen. Glory to God. Amen and amen. We know God is love because He sent us a Savior. A Savior. Number two, we know God is love because no one is left out of His love. Look at verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Look at that. Look at what verse 14 ends with. And look at what verse 15 begins with. World, whosoever. You're never going to convince me, friend, that Jesus came to save the elect few. World, whosoever. World, whosoever. Hey, folk, look at, if there are groups of people, if there was one group of people, and they say that there are people who do these kind of studies say that there are over 16,000 people groups in the world. 16,000. Now think about this morning. If only one of those groups was isolated from God's love, then to those people, God would not be love. Right? Just one group. If God loved 15,999 people groups and didn't love that one people group, then God would be almost love. Almost love to everybody. But friend, you and I know that's not true about our God. His love is so high, so deep, so long, so broad that it catches the whole world. world. And I'm not just talking about the planet Earth. I'm talking about every 6¾ billion people living on the earth. God is love to all of those people, everybody, all people groups. God is love because no one is left out of His love. It was enough to catch me, and it's enough to catch you. There's not one single people group. Better yet, there's not one single person in the people group that has to be left with a horrified look on their face. You listening this morning? No, they can understand. They can understand that somebody loved them enough to die. Every person, lovely and unlovely, every person, rich and poor, every person, known or unknown, can be told God loves you. You. One of the things when I went to Hammond to school, one of the things that I got involved in the bus ministry, and one of the things that the bus ministry taught me was that God loved everybody. Everybody. I didn't grow up around any physically handicapped people. Nobody in my dad's family is physically handicapped. Nobody in my mother's family is physically handicapped. None of my brothers are physically handicapped. They might think one of us might have thought the one was mentally handicapped, but nobody was physically handicapped. Nobody was mentally. I didn't grow up around any mentally or physically handicapped people. None. I went to that bus route, started in the bus ministry, and Ralph Hansen was my bus captain, and he said, "We're going to go by to visit Terry next." Terry was a teenage young lady, if I'm right on that, later on, 17, 18, 19, might have been early 20s, and she was mentally handicapped. We opened the door to her house, Ralph and I, and she was laying on the floor. Her limbs were all crippled, not just physically handicapped, mentally handicapped. I'm not making fun, but you know. Ralph stuck his head in the door. "Terry? Tomorrow's Sunday school." Held up one finger. One day. We pulled up with the bus. And she's sitting on the porch, concrete porch, up in Chicago on the west side. She's sitting on a concrete porch. I saw Ralph go and put his arms underneath her legs, and under her head and back, and pick her up, bring her old crippled body up to the bus, set her on the front seat. I tried to eat cookies, and it would spill all over her face, go down all over her blouse. Try to drink something, and she'd choke on it. It's a mess. They had a class for her. They'd get the wheelchair, put her in the wheelchair, and then take her to the class and put her back on the bus. Ed DeNeve, the bus driver, was sick one Sunday. Ralph was driving. It didn't dawn on me. I was going to have to run doors. It didn't dawn on me. I'd have to run Terry's door. Pulled up in front of Terry's house, and there she was. Ralph's driving the bus. "All right, brother, go get Terry." I hate to admit it, but, I was a little bit hesitant. But I had to do it. Picked up that body. Brought her on the bus and set her on the front seat of the bus. Then Ralph left the bus route, and that became my most favorite bus stop every Saturday. I'd open that door, and she'd be laying on that floor, dirty floor. One Sunday, I put her in the wheelchair and took her to the Sunday school class. Pulled the bus around to pick up where the buses picked up the mentally handicapped people. The teacher that was working with those people had a big smile on her face and pushed her out to the bus and said, "Brother Angel, I really believe with all of my heart that this morning Terry got saved." This, the mind of a child in a 20-something-year-old body. But not one person is left out of God's love. Not one. And I'm so thankful that God loves the world. He loves the people groups. He loves the people in those people groups. He loves all people, all kinds. And I want to tell you this morning, friend, if you got in the car, rode to church this morning, and you were wondering to yourself, I wonder if God loves me. I'm going to tell you, He does. You don't have to wonder that. Isn't that good to know? Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. Mentally handicapped. They're all precious in His sight. We know that God is love because He sent a Savior He sent us a Savior. We know that God is love because no one is left out of His love. And I just want to say thirdly this morning, God is love because you and I have experienced it. We've experienced it. Look at verse 16. John said, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. John was testifying in this verse, and he said, I know God is love because I've experienced it. I've known and believed the love. Friend, I can say, look, you know, I'm careful about this. I'm careful this morning. Right now, I'm real careful because, you know, I've talked to people and said, well, I don't care what that book says. I know what I experienced. And our experience, when it's in contrast to the Bible, is in error. But when your experience gels with what the Word of God teaches, it's just an added blessing. I know that God loves me because the Bible tells us. Amen? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I know that He loves me because the Bible says it. But I want to tell you something, friend. I know that God loves me because I've experienced it. I have experienced it. Old Ray Hart used to sing, it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Hallelujah. It's real. Over these almost 35 years of salvation, God's love has overwhelmed my heart time and time and time again. In times when I was discouraged, in times when I was fighting a battle, in times when I was facing a brick wall, in times when I didn't know what to do, in times of failure, in times of hopelessness, in times of utter defeat. Oh, praise God. The truth has overwhelmed my heart. Jesus, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Nothing I can do will separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's been real to me. It's been real to you, hasn't it? I wish it was real to me more often. That's not God's fault. That's mine. I get caught up in other things. Get my mind on other stuff. And then God sends me a little postcard by way of a 4-year-old girl's handwriting just to say God loves. All week long, after seeing the two little girls saved, I was driving back from St. Anne. Fellowship with Ira, and my heart was overwhelmed. I dropped him off here at the church, and I headed toward the house. The tears just came down my cheeks. See that little 10-year-old girls, and especially that one little girl, that look on her face, and the reality of her condition dawned on her, and then the look on her face after she realized that Jesus paid it all. And then God gave me a picture on Sunday just to remind me God's love. I've been looking forward all week to coming to the pulpit this morning telling you that God is love and that God loves you. And aren't you glad He does? If that's all we get, like the little fourth grade girl, worth being here. You found it 27 years ago. 28, what do you got, Greg? 27? 28. Walked in last Sunday. Great big smile on his face. He said, 28 years ago on this very day, Steve Blanchett, Greg Payne, found the love of God. Ah, friend, if you haven't experienced God's love by being born into His family through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, I'm telling you this morning that God loves you. You're in a lost, condemned, sentenced to hell condition. But God's not just going to see you see you in that condition and say, good luck. He loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. You say, well, look at me. Who am I? It doesn't matter, because God's love is for everybody. Everybody. And once you get in, you get overwhelmed over and over again by how wonderful. Let's pray together this morning. Thank you for your attention. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us when we were so unlovely. Nobody in this room, nobody in the world can stand and say that they merited or earned the love of God. Thank you that it's real. Thank you that it's real. May somebody experience it today, oh God, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Let me ask you a question today. How many would say, Pastor Angel, I've been saved. I've been born into God's family. I know I have experienced the love of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand in the air this morning as a testimony of that? You're saved and you know it. God bless you. Thank you. I wonder if there's one here this morning that said, Brother Angel, I could not raise my hand just then. I could not raise my hand just then. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I know that God is love, but I'm not sure my heart has ever experienced that love. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died right now where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Anybody in the building from front to back, side to side? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Let me pray for you as we close the service this morning. Anybody like that? Front to back, side to side. Member, visitor, boy, girl, in the balcony. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. All right? I wonder if there's here any this morning. You'd say, Pastor Angel, I've been saved, but I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism since I've been saved. I've not taken that first step of obedience, of baptism after salvation. And maybe you came to be baptized this morning. Maybe you came to be obedient. Or maybe you realize now that that's what you need to do. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? I've been saved and not yet baptized since I've been saved. God bless you. If you came this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, why don't you come on right now while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We have people ready to help you and assist you. Follow the Lord this morning. Maybe you don't understand, know about baptism, and you know that you've been saved and you haven't been baptized yet. And you ought to come and just let somebody, in a little bit, let somebody talk to you about this matter of being baptized in obedience to Christ's command. Anybody else like that while we wait this morning? All right. Now, the next thing. Who's here? You've been saved, baptized, you're a child of God, born into God's family. And you say, Pastor, it's been a while since I told Jesus I loved Him. Or it's been a while since my heart was filled with the knowledge again of God's love, fresh and real to me. Boy, at some point through the message this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Pray for me. Would you raise a hand, please, all over the room this morning? Yes, yes, I see many. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. That's wonderful. Wonderful. All right. In just a minute, we're going to give the invitation. If you need to be saved and you didn't raise your hand, you don't know that you're born into God's family, my friend, what a great opportunity and a great day to be saved. You need to be baptized. What a great time. You come. You need to be saved. You come. You're one of these men in the front. Baptized, you come, or if you want to just come and use the altar for prayer purposes and just thank God for His great love and let His love fill your heart this morning, you come. If you've been visiting our church and you've talked to one of us, you know this is the place where you want to be a member. You've been saved and baptized and visited with us about membership. You can come as well at this time. My Father in heaven, never feel like I do the subject of your love any justice. I'm not even sure, Lord, that I touched the hem of the garment this morning. It sure has been a blessed thought all week. And a wonderful truth, and I thank you for it. Bless us today in this invitation. May we mind you and honor you in all that we do. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are going to start playing the song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Would you come? You need to be saved. Would you come to one of these men? Say, I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. We have somebody that can show you how to be saved. You need to be baptized. Would you come? Well, please don't leave the room if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven this morning. Would you please go? Let's take a Bible and show you how to be saved. While we wait.